This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. And who shall ascend into the hill of our God, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, he who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. Amen. There is a promise in that verse, in that psalm, but there's a premise that undergirds the promise. Here's the promise. The King of glory will come in. The Lord of hosts will come in. But here's the premise. Lift up your heads. Lift up your heads. In other words, lift up your spirits. And that's the purpose of revival. Vival, revive. V-I-V-E is Latin for life. Amen. Not existence. So often, many of us only have existence. Amen. John 10 and 10 gives us both Jesus' mission statement and the devil's mission statement in one verse. Amen. This is the devil's mission statement. It's all in one verse. Here it is. The thief cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy. To kill you, to steal your joy, your sense of purpose, your confidence. Amen. To kill, steal, and destroy. But it also says, Jesus says, but I have come. In the same verse, that you might have life. Amen. And not just existence, but life, and have it overflowing more abundantly. Amen. And that's why we're here, for these few nights to have revival. Amen. I want to thank your pastor, my friend, Reverend Thurman N. Tillman, who is one of the great church leaders of our nation. God bless you, brother. Thank you for your friendship. I have so much admiration for your pastor. And that is because he has that, listen to me, youthful sense of wonder. Youthful sense of wonder. That's right. Moses was 80 years old. There was a bush burning, but it was not being consumed by the fire. And if you read the text carefully, it says that God did not speak to him until Moses decided to go and investigate. And when he saw that Moses still was inquisitive, That's when God spoke to him out of the bush. Maybe God's not speaking to some of us because we've lost our sense of inquisitiveness, a sense of wonder, or hear me, a sense of adventure. Amen. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what it means to get old. I don't mind getting older. I just don't want to get old. Say amen in here. And there is a difference between getting older, which is what you should want to do, and getting old. Amen. And the thing I like about your pastor is he is still spry and young and aspirational. The writer of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, when he talks about old age, says you are afraid of that which is high, which means you don't want to take any risk. Y'all looking at me. Amen. I don't care what your chronological age is, because you have a chronological age, you have a biological age. You can be 80, but because you take care of yourself, you're 60. Amen. And because of the way you think, your emotional, psychological age, you can still be 20. Oh, that's right. Praise be to God. It's so good. Dr. Thurman, good to see you, sir. Amen. It's good to be here. Amen. And this great church, this historic church, this is one of the great churches of our nation, not simply because of your history, but because of your destiny. That is what makes you such a great church. It is a joy to be in your midst. I'm looking across the congregation and I see a familiar face that I used to see sitting in the pews, either in front of me as one of the parishioners, which she was, but also beside me as one of my colleagues in ministry, and that's Sister Lisa, the Reverend Lisa Day Bowers, who is here. And our church, St. Stephen Baptist Church, is the largest black church in the state of Kentucky. It is due in part because of her partnership in ministry. When she relocated from Louisville to your community, I can't tell you how much of a Grand Canyon-sized hole her leaving left at St. Stephen Baptist Church. Multi-gifted, and I'm so glad. When she told me she was going to Savannah, she said to me, she said, "Do you know any churches in Savannah that I can maybe unite with?" I said, "Let me think." Yes. So to see her here means so much to see her. Good to see you. God bless you, Lisa. Bless your heart. Amen. Give us some love, y'all. Amen. Tonight I want to share a thought with you from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. And I will peruse this chapter, just certain verses in it. And I want to go ahead and give you what the thought of the message is tonight. How to live with things, thank you, sir, you cannot change. How to live with things you cannot change. Verse 1 of chapter 29 says this. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So he says, this is, in verse 1, the text of the letter Now let's look at the letter. Verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens, eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers, in number there. Do not decrease. Let me just park there for a minute. If you don't hear anything else I say this week, let that be your motto. That regardless of what life brings, I will not decrease. I am committed to increase. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The 29th chapter of Jeremiah is a letter sent by Jeremiah to Jews who had been taken into exile from their home in Jerusalem into Babylon. They were taken into exile by the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon was the superpower of Jeremiah's day. They were taken into exile. The word exile, look at it, break it down. Ex. That's the prefix, X. Whenever you see X, like in this building, there's a sign, I'm looking at it, it says exit. So that means out. This is the way out. Exile. Ow. What word is built from the word ow? I-S-L, ow. If you add A-N-D to isle, it's island. So isle is the word for land or soil. So exile means what? Taken out of the land. And the Babylonians, under the ruthless King Nebuchadnezzar, flexed its might, flexed its muscles, invaded Jerusalem and uprooted the Jerusalemites and exiled them or lifted them out of the land and deported them 700 miles to Babylon, which is modern day Iraq, where they would live a subservient life to the Babylonians. Now, there were three waves of removals, or exiles, or uprooting of the Jerusalemites. The first took place in 605 BC. And it was during that first wave that Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were uprooted and deported into Babylon. That was the first wave. But they came back again about 7 years later. In 597 BC, the Babylonians came back and they uprooted more people and exiled them. Ex, out, isle, soil, land, lifted them up out of the land and deported them to Babylon so they would serve the interest of the Babylonians as prisoners of war and slaves. This should resonate with you if you are woke. Because the greatest exile in the history of the world took place in the 1400s up into the 1800s, from the 15th century to the 19th century, when 12.5 million Africans were uprooted and deported away from the land to the Americas for purposes of building the Western world. Eric Michael Dyson, the brilliant intellectual, social critic, says that when you have one slave, you're rich. If you have 10 slaves, you're wealthy. But if you have 4 million slaves, you are the United States of America. Because what has made the States of America the United States was free slave labor from people who were uprooted and exiled. Now, that second wave of people who were exiled, there were three. The final wave was in 586 BC. That was the third wave when Babylon went into Jerusalem. And this time, not only did they deport people, but they destroyed the entire city. They razed the city. They destroyed it. They did to Jerusalem what Sherman did to Atlanta in 1864, which really ended the Civil War for real. And every time I see any pictures, I told your pastor this, of Sherman and the flames engulfing Atlanta, I cheer. I love it. Now, if you don't cheer, that's because you're a miseducated Negro. You've been going to this Governor DeSantis school. Yeah. So you've got this exile. And those who have been deported, they have been told disinformation. And you do know there's a difference between misinformation and disinformation. Misinformation is you just don't know. when you tell somebody and you think you're right, but you are just not right. Disinformation is when you know you're lying. You know you're lying. Fox News. Donald Trump. Disinformation. And there were some prophets who were engaging in disinformation. And guess what they were telling the people who had been exiled, lifted out of the soil, and deported 700 miles from Jerusalem to Babylon, modern day Iraq. This is what they were telling them. They were telling them that the exile is not going to be long. That the reason why Jerusalem has not been destroyed is because you're coming back. In fact, there's a prophet who's the leader of the prophet guild named Hananiah. And Hananiah is telling the people that this exile is only going to be 2 years. And the people believed his lie. Because there's something in human nature that is a great impediment to human progress. It's called human gullibility. Some in our nature, we just love to be lied to. Sometimes even from the pulpit. He told the people that it would only be 2 years, and many of the people believed it. They were literally living out of suitcases. They had not changed the license plate on their chariots. They didn't get license in Babylon. They were still using the old Jerusalem license. Why? Because they didn't think they were going to be there, but 2 years. They had embraced a lie. Can any of you in here remember or think about the time when you really embraced a lie? Well, you can spell prophet P-R-O-P-H-E-T, or you can spell it P-R-O-F-I-T. And sometimes prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T, will tell you things because they know you're gullible. Y'all don't like me. They'll tell you things. They know it's not true. Amen. Make Jesus your choice. You drive a Rolls Royce. That positive thinking will put a Cadillac in your driveway. Positive thinking will not put a Cadillac in your driveway. Positive payments puts a Cadillac in your driveway. And if you got a new Cadillac in your driveway just through positive thinking, positive confessions and naming it, and claiming it, well, call the police because that's a stolen car, y'all. And these people had believed a lie. A lie. And that is why Jeremiah writes the letter to them. Those who had believed that they were only going to be there 2 years. And Jeremiah says to them, listen, instead of you being in exile, away from your soil for 2 years, he says, you're going to be in exile for 70 years. That changes things, doesn't it? Let me ask you a question. What does 70 years mean if you're 20? Okay, y'all ain't getting this. 40 is my daughter will turn 40 this year. I think that's a young age. See, she still got it, time. But let me ask you, Christine, my daughter, what does 70 years mean if you're 40? Okay. Some of y'all in high school, maybe. You're 17. What does 70 years mean if you're 17? 87? Uh-huh. What does 70 years mean if you're in your 60s like me? Let me tell you what 70 years means. 70 years means that you are facing something. You're going to face something that is not going to change. And that's what he was telling them in this letter. That I know you want to go to Reverend He's Lying to You's church. Because he's telling you not what you need to hear, but what you want to hear. And that is that you're going to be in exile just for 2 years, but you're going to be there 70 years. In other words, you're living through something that will not change. And I'm sure that when they got Jeremiah's letter, they wished that they had never gotten Jeremiah's letter. And or they were thinking, I wish he had sent that letter to somebody else. But it was sent to them. To all of the people who had been exiled to Babylon. Now, it doesn't take much imagination to take it from the back then and bring it to the right now. It doesn't take much creativity to bring it from Babylon and drop it in your lap here in Savannah. Because all of us have had to deal with something. Or you are facing something right now in your life, hear me, that won't change. You're going to have to live with it. I don't care how much naming it and claiming it you do. I don't care how much praying you do. It's not going to change. There's a sickness that somebody is wrestling with. You're not going to be cured. There's a relationship that you once had with somebody that you wish could be restored. You wish for reconciliation. It's not going to happen. There's a bad choice you made that you wish could be unmade. Talk to me, somebody. But it's not going to happen. There's a past that cannot be undone. And you got to live with it. All of us, would you agree with me, have something in our lives that if we could change it, we would. But we can't. And we're stuck with having to live with something we cannot change. Here are four words that determines what kind of life you're going to have. Four words that determine what kind of life you're going to have. Here it is. My reaction to it. What will be my reaction to
That which will not change. And the thing I like about Jeremiah is Jeremiah just doesn't write the letter and say, okay, y'all ain't getting out of Babylon. But he also gives us tonight three ways to respond to some things that will not change. Now, I'm not saying don't try to change it. If something you can change, it's in your power to change, change it. You've heard Reinhold Niebuhr's prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So the things you can change, you change. But the prayer also recognizes that there's some things you cannot change. And this is what Jeremiah is telling these Jerusalemites, that there's some things you cannot change. And he says, but here is how you should respond to it. Hallelujah. First of all, he says, this is what I want you to do. He says, I want you to live in the real and not the rosy. Come on, talk to me. See, the prophets, these false prophets, were having the people do what? Live in the rosy. They were saying to the people that it's only going to be, amen, 2 years. He told them, he said, look, don't get along with them Babylonians. Stay radical. So have your fist up in the air. Don't cooperate with the man. You're only going to be here for 2 years. And the text says that not only did the people encourage the prophets, I believe the prophets, but they were encouraging the prophets to lie to them. Do you know why they were encouraging the prophets to lie to them? Because we love to be lied to. We want somebody to make us feel good. Preach Kevin Cosby. Amen. Sometimes folk lying to us makes us feel good. My God. And you know, that's why Jeremiah caught so much hell. You don't get good pastors' anniversaries telling folk what they don't want to hear. No. That's not how you become a tenured pastor doing that. You tell people what makes them feel good. Amen. They got mad at Jeremiah. They got mad at Jeremiah for telling them 7 years, even though it was true, as though Jeremiah was the one who created the truth. Nobody creates truth. We just declare truth. If Jeremiah had joined the lion preachers and said 2 years, it still would have been 70 years. When the weather is hot and the thermometer says 102 degrees, you smashing the thermometer with a sledgehammer will not change the fact that it is 102 degrees. We love to be lied to. Do you know they got dresses called vanity dresses? They literally will put, it's done, in certain women's dresses, a size 14, and it's a 20. And they'll lift it up and show you and say, you ought to try it on. And you look at the tag and say, it's for 14. Say, I can't get in that. And then they'll say, just try it. And he said, I can't, just try it, because it stretches a little bit. Just try it. And you try it, and you can get in it, and you buy it, not because you like it. But just because it's a lie. You get out of the shower. Before you get on the scales, there's a button. Come on, talk to me. And you push the button back. So you start with a negative 20. But just because you push the button back, preach, Kevin Cosby, to give it a negative 20, I don't care if you get on the scales. It may make you feel good, but it's a lie. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth. It didn't say the truth won't hurt your feelings. Preach, man, but it will set you free. In other words, if you want to live with something you cannot change, it is important, as painful as it may be, to live in the real and not the rosy. And what I'm talking about, everybody who tells you the rosy is not your friend. And everybody that keeps it real with you is not your enemy. Talk to me, somebody. Amen. You got to live with the real. And then here's something else you got to do with the things you cannot change. You're living in the real. You say, you know what? I can't change this. I'm here 70 years. So once you come to the realization that this is something that you cannot change, this is the real, I can't change it, I'm here, I can't do nothing about it, he ain't coming back, she ain't coming back, I lost the job, I got the cancer, I got this thing, amen, certain things are not, amen, this will not be pre-COVID. The world has changed, technology has changed, this is the real. Once you deal with the real, church, that's the first step. Once you come to grips with the fact, I don't like it, but this is the way it is. Then the second thing you do is what he says in this text. I'm in the text, y'all. I got nothing but text. He says, I want you to grow and not gripe. He says, I want you to grow. I says, I want you to increase and not decrease. I want you to grow and not gripe. Amen. See, some of them believed the false prophets. They had not unpacked. They had not switched their time from Jerusalem standard time to Babylonian standard time. And he says, you in Babylon, you're going to be there. And between verses 5 and 7, he says, this is what I want you to do while you're in Jerusalem. He says, I want you to build you some houses. I want you to plant you some gardens. I want you to build strong families. I want you to get your children married. I want you to increase there and not, amen, decrease. I want you to be productive, amen, where you are. And the good news is this. God can bless you regardless of where you are. I don't know what ought to make you shout, You should shout, not simply because God was good to you when you were in Jerusalem, but what ought to make you know there's a God that in spite of the fact that you're in a place that you don't want to be, the Lord has still allowed you to be productive. My God. He says, I want you to get your children together. I want you to, amen, make sure your children are smart. Amen, get your kids together. I know we live in a racist society, but God is still saying in the midst of the racism, make sure your kids are reading. Make sure that you purchase Hooked on Phonics. Make sure, amen, you got standards for your children. Get your families together. Develop your skills right there in Babylon. Be the best in Babylon. You got to compete with Asians and Latinos and Latinx and white folk and immigrants. Don't you decrease while everybody else is increasing? He said, I want you to learn some skills. I want, amen, you to be creative craftsmen. I want you to be entrepreneurs. I want you to be boat builders. I want you to be skilled people. He says, I want you to build. You can be community developers. You can be masterful musicians. You can be dexterous doctors. You can be learned lawyers. In other words, he says, I want you to increase there, but don't decrease. And the only way you increase there is that you first of all, you realize you're going to be there, and you are not sitting there griping all the time. You don't use your emotions to gripe about the stuff that won't change. You say, Lord, I'm here. But help me to be productive. Amen. I don't know how much time I got, but help me to be the best version of myself where I am right now. God can bless you anywhere and in any situation if you don't gripe, but you say, Lord, help me grow. Do I have a church in here? Amen. And God will give. God will never tell you to grow unless he's going to give you what you need to grow. Most of the folk who are going to bless you, you haven't even met yet. Most of the folk who are going to hook you up, God's not going to send them to you until you stop griping and say, Lord, I'm going back to school. I'm going to try something else. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to stop feeling sorry for myself. Do I have a church in here? Is anybody in here who's ever been exiled? Is anybody ever been uprooted from something you wanted and put into some place you did not want to do, did not want to be, but the Lord bless you just where you are? That really tells what kind of Christian you are anyway. See, you can't tell what kind of saint you are when everything's going well. Anybody can shout when everything's going well. But when the Babylonians come, preach, man, and lift you out of a situation you don't want to be in, can you still grow? Folk don't think you're supposed to be growing where you're growing, but you're growing anyhow. If you take a potato, it's hard, isn't it? But you can't tell how hard it is until you put it in hot water. And you take an egg, right, and you put it, you think it's soft, but you can't tell what it is until you put it in hot water. Because a potato goes around acting like he's strong. I'm hard. But when you put it in hot water, the potato gets soft. A whole lot of y'all strong Christians, strong deacons, and strong elders, and strong choir members, until you get in the hot water of Babylon. And then you're a hard potato that just falls apart. Preach, man. But then some of y'all eggs You kind and soft and nice. That's because you ain't been in hard water. But when you take an egg that's supposed to be soft and put it in hot water, that's when it becomes hard. Some of y'all were nice as long as, amen, you had money in your pocket and had a good job and everything was going well. You were nice, you speak to folk, but when you got in hot water, you got hard. You cuss a Negro out. You mean, you nasty. Your personality has changed. Preach, man. But if you take tea bags and you put it in hot water, that tea bag says, put me in hot water because my flavor comes out. Ooh, when I get in hot water, and as a child of God, when you in hot water, you ought to ask God to help your flavor come out. Do I have a church in here? I feel God in this place. Amen. When you in a situation you can't change, live with the real and not the rosy. Am I right about it? Look at your neighbor and say, I needed this. I've been living in the rosy, but I'm going to live in the real. Look at your neighbor and say, grow and don't gripe. Go back to school. Amen. Get yourself together. Get a project. Get a life. Get out of that shoe, you old lady. You get out of that corner, little Jack Horner. Get a life. Get back in the gym. Get your hair fixed. Go take a correspondence class. Do something besides sitting around looking pitiful and feeling sorry for yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, you've been griping too long. It's time to grow. And I just believe that if you try, the Holy Ghost will get behind you and he will help you. Do I have a church in here? Grow and don't gripe. And then finally, my brothers and sisters, if you're in a situation you can't change, always remember that God is in control. And nothing takes God by surprise. Y'all don't hear me. You see, God is not only in Jerusalem, but God is in Babylon. Because there is nowhere God has to go to get where God is going. Because God is already where he's going without leaving where he just left. Do I have a witness in here? God is everywhere because there is nowhere where God is not. Do I have a church in here? So your dilemma is you think God was with you way back then. Or you think God was with you at a particular time. But I'm here to tell you, you don't know it. You may not sense it. You may not believe it. But there has never and there will never be a moment in your life where God is not with you. Do I have a church in here? Hallelujah. He is with you. He's omnipresent. Now, I can't say folk will be with you. Do I have a witness in here? Because folk are fickle. They'll leave you, won't they? Look at the neighbor and say, Negroes will leave you. You help them when they're down. You bankroll them in times of emergencies. You sacrifice for their well-being, and they'll still leave you. You do what you can to help them, and they'll leave you. You give them your time and attention, and they'll leave you. You visit them when they're sick. You nurse them back to health. You let them sleep in your house. You let them eat your food. You let them flush your toilet. You let them burn up your heat. Yeah, but they'll still leave you. But I serve a God who ain't like folk. He will never leave you, not forsake you. He's there. Isn't he there? Is he there to help you bear your burdens, meet your demands, reach your goals, handle your losses, climb your mountains, go through your storms? Do I have a witness in here? Endure your pain. He's with you to help you finish your course. Am I right about it? And one of the ways that you know that he's with you, because there's no way you could have survived your Babylon if the Lord has not been with you. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you want to know why I shout for five reasons. Number one, say, neighbor, number one, God has been good to me. Number two, God has been good to me. Number three, God has been good to me. Number four, God has been good to me. Number five, God has been good to me. Do I have a witness? In fact, all the hell you've been through, you should have been wiped out. But God is a very present help in the time of trouble. And this ought to make you shout. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans, plans, plans. God's got a plan. One door will shut, another door will open. Somebody holler, yeah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans not to hurt you. Plans not to harm you. Plans to give you a future. We are our heavenly Father's children, and we all know he loves us one and all. Yet there are times we find, we ask the question, another voice on call, if we are willing, he will teach us his voice only to obey, no matter where. And he knows, yes, he knows just how much we can bear. Holla, yeah, say yeah, yeah. You hug your neighbor, hug them right now, rock them and shake them, shake them and rock them, rock them and shake them, and tell them, hey, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Somebody holler, yeah. Somebody say yes. Just three people say, this is my word tonight. Touch somebody, say, this is my word. I accept it. I believe it. So there are some things that will not change, right? And we live in the real and not the rosy. We don't sit down and just gripe. But we what? We grow. We start building our houses. We take a class. We start networking. Well, I don't feel like getting up. Just get up, and the feeling will come. We grow and we don't gripe. We build our houses. We plant our gardens. We thank God because he's helping us to grow in situations we don't want to be in. And we remember that whether we are in Jerusalem or Babylon, God is everywhere. There will never be a season in your life where God will abandon you. People will, but God won't. He's in control. And he says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a future and hope. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Reinhold Niebuhr told us to pray. Grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change. Something, oh Lord, in our life right now is permanent. It may be a health issue that we have to live with. It may be a ruptured relationship that perhaps will not be repaired. Time has taken its toll on our bodies and we can't do what we once did. It's permanent. Some child has gone astray. It may be permanent. If it is, Lord, help us to live in the real. Don't let us be fooled by false prophets and their rosy prognostications. But Lord, thank you that you never would have told them to build houses in Babylon if they could not be builders. You would never have told them to plant gardens if they could not become agriculturalists. You never would have told them to develop families if it were not possible. And thank you, Lord, that in places we don't want to be, if we don't gripe and we continue to grow, you will give us what we need. Help this word direct us and move us as we now close out the first 6 months of this year. Help us to leave these first 6 months behind us as we prepare soon to enter the last part of 2023 with new attitudes,
and a new strategy because we are in Babylon. It's permanent. Thank you, Lord, for this great church, for their receptivity to the gospel. Help them, O Lord, to be everything you're calling for them to be. And we will give you the glory through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Two things that every Christian needs, every person needs. First of all, you need to believe. You need to believe. Amen. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever what? Aren't you glad it didn't say whosoever behaves? I'm glad it didn't say behave, because we don't behave, do we? But it says what? Believe. Shall have everlasting life. Shall have it if you believe. But there's another thing, there's another B-E word that Christians, listen to me, should be committed to. First, believe. Here's the second one. You ready for it? Belong. You not only believe, but you belong to the church. And let me tell you why. Not because of what the church can do for you, but for what you can do to be a blessing to other people. And that's why we extend to you this invitation to come as a new Christian. Maybe you got the first part right, the believe part, but now it's time to be faithful with the second part, to belong. And if that's you, we invite you to come prayerfully, come publicly, come trusting God as we sing the invitation, or you come, my brother, my sister.
Listen, it's my prayer that we will invite others. Thank God for you being here on tonight. It's my prayer that we would invite others. I've been inviting folk to come to revival. And I had somebody get sort of upset with me about inviting them as if I thought they really needed revival. And I'm going to share the text that they sent back to me, because if you think they could have received something tonight, you just tell me yes when I finish what they text me back. Pastor, I do apologize, but I had an extremely busy day at work. And I am now running around like a dummy. I am to try and connect in order to get the court to get tested and do all this stuff. I got to do an assessment for anger management, and I'm having zero luck. I promise my freedom is more important than revival. Unlike you, Pastor, I'm fighting for my freedom. Whatever situation they're in, they need to know that God, yeah, the way this brother headed, he might need to know he might have 70 years someplace.
Yeah.
And he gonna need the God that can set him free. I'm just saying, let's be in prayer, y'all. Because there's a lot of folk who can receive what God has for them. They have to be open to receive it. Let's pray for them. Pray for them that God can speak and bless. Now y'all see, some of y'all see, why he's so excited about Dr. Cosby coming? Why he's so excited? Now you know. Now you know. Continue to pray for revival. Continue to pray for revival. Pray for Reverend Cosby. Pray for his wife, his church. Pray that God will just continue to bless us. This is just the first night, y'all. And I'm so excited. Pray for Pastor DeAndre Thurman and St. Paul, his family, and St. Paul, because St. Paul is teaming up with us in this revival. St. Paul is teaming up with us. And we'll be in a workshop
Now we're getting all we can out of Dr. Cosby. He's not going to have a lot of time to rest and enjoy Savannah. On Thursday, he's doing a workshop over at St. Paul CME at 11:30. Y'all come 11:30. Everybody's welcome to the workshop. He's going to teach us then. He's going to share with us. And we may have an opportunity to ask some questions and get even more. And so he's preaching each night. So you know that. So again, thank God for you. Thank God for how God blessed us. Don't forget to give. Don't forget to give as you leave. Boy, got quiet. It just don't shout as you leave and shout and give. Hallelujah. And God will continue to bless God. Dr. Cosby's coming back with his closing. And again, thank you for coming and thank you for sharing. We're going to get them up as soon as we can each night. So you can get out of here as soon as you want to get out of here each night. But I'm telling you, I just wanted a little bit more. Woo! But I thank God for what we got tonight. Anybody can say, God, I thank you?
God, I thank you.
Hallelujah. Dr. Cosby.
Thank you so much. Amen. God bless your heart. It's a joy to be here. I love this church. You've been so kind to me through the years. And I'm looking forward to this week. And growing together, you know, as we dialogue and learn from each other. And I get so many insights from you. So, Pastor, thank you so very much, my brother. So if there be nothing else, let's stand all over this room. Amen. Amen. Live in the... And not the what? Amen. Grow... Not grind. And whether you in Jerusalem, one thing you do know is what? And he has plans. Do you really believe that? Amen. Go in peace. See you tomorrow night.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.